Good morning, everyone. My name is Riley Newton, and I am the Creative Arts Director here at Sturgeon Valley Baptist Church. I'd like to welcome you all to our service this morning, whether you're joining us here in the sanctuary or to those of you online. We pray that you had a joyous and restful Christmas day yesterday. As some of you may know, I have preached from this pulpit many times before, and each time I come here with special consideration to the Word in order to investigate the passage that I'm given. Pulpit Supply is a true joy. I love being up here. And I do love even being told which passage to preach on. It's a challenge. It's stimulating. This time, though, when Pastor Tom asked me to preach, there was a little bit of an added touch. I wasn't just going to be preaching through our passage in Colossians. I was actually also continuing our Advent series. And now, normally I preach the first week of January, as I have the past few years. And normally, it's after the close of the Advent season. But here we are. It's Boxing Day, and we're still in our Advent series, The Carols of Christmas. And before you check out, because I know that we're all done hearing All I Want for Christmas Is You as we walk through the Safeway aisles, just stay with me for this next bit. There's something that I think we can grasp from the Word, and not only the Word this morning, but also from a poem that was inspired by the Word of God. So our Advent series this year has been walking us through the Christmas carols, as I mentioned earlier, and also the scriptures that these carols were derived from. All of these famous Christmas hymns focus on specific elements of the nature and deity of Jesus Christ. Each Sunday since the end of November, which was our first Advent Sunday, we have sang songs such as O Come, Emmanuel, which was about the foretelling of his birth. We've learned his birth explained through What Child Is This? Then the angels sang in glory in the heavens in Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Joy has come to the world when we sang the carol, Joy to the World. And then on Friday, we sang Silent Night, and that discussed the reflective nature and the beauty of the glory of our Savior on his first night. And now, we're going through the song, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. And some of you may be thinking the same thought that I had when Pastor Tom first asked me to sing, I heard the bells, or sorry, not to sing it, to preach on it. I thought it was this song. I heard the bells on Christmas Day in the morning. I thought, oh right, perfect, a joyous tune for Boxing Day. It's going to be great. And I'm going through Colossians 1, which is the introduction to the church at Colossae and the nature of our relationship with Christ, I thought this is going to be a slam dunk sermon. Joy and Jesus. Two things that go perfectly together in the Christmas season. Well, I was completely wrong. My joy and celebration over my idea was cut short when 2 weeks ago in our meeting, Pastor Tom said to me, no, it's not that I heard the bells on Christmas Day. It's the other one. And I thought to myself, there's another one. I didn't know about that. And I had no idea about it. It's not that happy-go-lucky tune at all. And because I didn't grow up in the church, I'm only used to the songs that we hear on 96.3 the Breeze when we're driving down the road. Or, as I said, the carols that have played through our walks through the supermarket. So I printed off the lyrics to the original I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, and I realized that they're the exact opposite of the one that I thought they were. This hymn is somber. It's sobering. It's reflective. It speaks about the difficulty of the human condition and the reality of sin. And then when all hope seems lost at the end of the hymn, it ends with a brief, joyous thought about Christ's work. And I think to better understand this carol, we should read first from the scripture in which the ideas stem from. I'm going to be reading from Colossians chapter 1. You're welcome to turn there if you have your word now or on your devices. We'll be going through only four verses, and these will be verses 19 to 23 more specifically. I will be reading them to you aloud. And yet, these verses also pack a very important message. So listen closely. Colossians 1:19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, him being Christ, and through him to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through the blood of his cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds because of your evil actions, but now he's reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you faultless, holy, and blameless before him. If indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you've heard. This gospel has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant of it. So Paul is writing to his brethren in Colossae to encourage them. They've just recently laid the foundations of their faith, and they're walking in the beginnings of a journey of sanctification. They don't have it down pat yet. They still need much spiritual growth, and they need to understand the centrality of Christ to that walk. And it's from these two themes that Paul writes this passage to the Colossians. Specifically, you were once alienated and hostile in your minds because of your evil actions. So Paul addresses immediately the previous state before knowing Christ. They had no hope in their lives, and not only so, but no hope of knowing God, let alone knowing him in an intimate way. And it's from this reality of a relationship with God, despite the separation of sins, that on Christmas Day in the year 1863, 158 years ago, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote his famous poem, Christmas Day, which was later translated into the carol, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. The song speaks first of the reality of the birth of our Savior, followed by that stark contrast of sin that I mentioned, and firmly lands on our hope in Christ despite the reality of sin. This is how the poem goes. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men, and thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along their unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men, till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And this is where the joy ends. Then from each black accursed mouth the cannons thundered in the south, and with that sound the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. So in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Not quite the joyous hymn I wanted to preach on. Longfellow was lamenting at that time, though, two major upheavals in his life. The first was the loss of his beloved wife to a terrible house fire 2 years previous. And the second was that his eldest son, Charles Appleton Longfellow, had just joined the Union Army in the Civil War without his father's permission, and without saying a true goodbye. Now, this was a deep transgression at that time, and it showed in Henry Longfellow's distaste and disdain for the war itself. Charles was obviously so scared of confronting his dad and then being able to go that he actually simply left a note to him. And it says, "I have tried hard to resist the temptation of going without your leave, but I cannot any longer. I feel it to be my first duty to do what I can for my country, and I would willingly lay my life down for it if it would be any good." Charles was severely wounded in the Battle of Mine Run in early December 1863, when the Unionists unsuccessfully went for a bid against the Confederates in Orange County, Virginia. Longfellow's deep despair about these things are apparent in the poem, especially verses 2 and 4, when he says, "From each black accursed mouth, the cannons thundered in the south, and with that sound the carols drowned." And also from verse 4, "For hate is strong, and it mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." The song was so despairing, in fact, that during its most famous recording in 1956 by Bing Crosby, Johnny Marks, who was the arranger of the song, cut out the second verse with the Civil War aspect of the cannons thundering in the South, because he wanted to keep it from being overly pessimistic. Back to Longfellow. His wife passed away. His son, critically wounded in battle, the country tearing itself apart in wartime. What good was there at Christmas in 1863 in America? What hope was there to even consider? Well, both the carol, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day," and the word from Colossians answers this question very clearly. And it is in this. This is the answer. We can have a settledness of confident hope even in the midst of bleak despair. I'll say that again. We can have a settledness of confident hope even in the midst of bleak despair. The next question is obvious. How? How is it possible to have a settledness of confident hope, no matter the time, no matter the circumstance? And the answer is twofold, both from the scriptures, both reiterated in the hymn. One is that it is possible because Christ made peace with us through the blood of his cross and his death. That's in verse 20. And the second is from verse 23, when it says, "As we remain grounded in our faith, God promises to redeem us." So that's the two things. It's possible because Christ made peace with us through the blood of his cross. And secondly, because God promises to redeem us as we remain grounded in our faith. Both of these realities are essential to knowing true relationship with God and attaining that peace in the midst of bleakness. The carol, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day," is broken up into three sections of seven verses. I don't know if Longfellow's intent was for that, but, you know, three, the number of perfection, seven, the number of perfection. And the first section of three verses is focusing on love, joy, peace, excitement, song singing of a Christmas morning as they have gone on for millennia. The carols are being sung sweetly. The bells in their bell towers are ringing to remind the townsfolk of the joyous nature of the day. Christ is born. Our Savior and King has come into the world. And each verse ends with this important line of peace on earth, goodwill to men. This stemming from Luke 2, verse 14, from the King James Version of the Bible. Christ's birth brings these things to heed. God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him and through him reconcile everything to himself. That's from Colossians 1:19. So this is the beginning of that settled hope. Christ descended to earth, emptied himself of many of the aspects of his deity, and yet retained somehow in his personhood the fullness of God. This is an age-old conundrum and something that we explored weeks ago when Pastor Tom preached through the hymn, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." In the third verse, it says, "Mild he lays his glory by." He gave up his glory in order to become man. Philippians 2:7 says, instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of man. God did this in order for his son to become human, able to empathize with us and experience every temptation and yet live without a single sin. That is something worthy of celebrating, as we did yesterday morning. Now, the second section of the song is completely the opposite of the first section of the song. It ceases the joy and ceases the peace, and it replaces it with evil, degeneration, sinfulness, and death. And I love Longfellow's, the picture that he paints. From each black, accursed mouth, the cannons thundered in the south. And with that sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to man. That's such a vivid imagery of destruction, of the war having drowned out his joy that morning. Not far from Longfellow's home even, there were men dying on the battlefield. America was shaken to its core by the Civil War. The country was not even 100 years old at the time, and it was already coming apart at the seams. Colossians 1:21 says, once you were alienated and hostile in your minds because of your evil actions. And America seemed surely at that time to many people to be bent on evil. There was much hatred towards each other. And this would spit in the face of the joy of the Christmas season, surely. And reading this, I couldn't help but compare this situation that Longfellow dealt with to our situation today. This poem has surely struck a chord with many people over the past 150 years, especially during times of war and times of struggle. We are 2 years into the COVID-19 pandemic. What we once assumed would be 14 days to flatten the curve will become 700 days this coming March. And there doesn't seem or feel to be a real end in sight yet. Many have made different promises over these past years. Most have fallen short. Pastor Tom mentioned in a sermon that especially during this fall season, there seems to be a great division occurring, even greater than it was perhaps last year. It could be from the fact that we thought that perhaps this would come to an end at some point, and then it's just been dragging on and on. Differing opinions and stances on these opinions have turned many to spew hatred towards one another. And as the Unionists and the Confederates shook the continent 150 years ago, so does this war rage within our hearts right now. We're in danger of no longer seeing our brothers and sisters as that, our brothers and sisters. In despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong, and it mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I know that I personally have been guilty of it, and I am ready to admit that I've allowed Satan to alienate me and twist my mind because of my disappointment and allowed hatred at some points to mock the gospel that I even preach to you right now. I think we're all susceptible to this scary reality. And that's why it's so important for us right now to engage with this carol. It seems to be impossible for us to have a settledness of confident hope in Christ when these things are surrounding us. What is our hope if hate is strong and it mocks our song? We go back to that main point. We have a settledness of confident hope, even in the midst of bleak despair, because Christ made peace with us through the blood of his cross. Now, Christ has reconciled you by his physical body through his death, to present you holy and flawless and blameless before him. What is this? It's grace. Grace from our Lord Jesus is our settled hope. That is our confidence. The grace of the Lord being so big that it removes the guilt of our sin. In repentance, we come to God to be reconciled, and he does that. Jesus poured out his spiritual divinity, the greatness and the fullness of his power in God, and took on the flesh of man to change this. That truth overwhelms even the darkest of times, whether war, famine, pandemic, it is overcome because of the life and death and resurrection of Christ. Excuse me, I sang my heart out on Christmas Eve, and now I have lost my voice a bit. Henry Longfellow discovered that truth on Christmas morning in 1863, as we are discovering it right now. Even though disappointment at his country, his anger and hatred towards the cursed word shared amongst brethren who were once his neighbors and fellow countrymen, his son teetering on the edge of life, all of these things were stomping on his joy. Yet he finishes his poem with this. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. Excuse me. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. It is said that Longfellow literally heard the bells of the local church down the road clanging loudly. And it changed his mind and convicted him about that day. He was reminded that despite the terrible, bleak circumstances that Christmas, he could depend upon God. His joy was not in the world, but it was in the fact that Christ had come, died, and rose again for his sins. That the grace of God was not quashed. We have the same hope right now, despite these grave circumstances that seem to overwhelm us. Despite COVID-19, God is not dead. Nor does he sleep. He has overcome the evil one, and he has brought us out of despair. We can trust that. COVID didn't surprise him. It didn't take him by surprise. He wasn't shaken by that reality of the illness. He wasn't shaken by our reactions to it, or our anger, or our sinfulness. His hand is wide open for the redemption. His hand is wide open for the grace. All that remains for us to do in this room this morning is in the second portion of the answer to that question. It is, how can we have a settledness and confident hope? We remain grounded in our faith in Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:23, you are reconciled to him if indeed you remain grounded in the steadfast faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. Don't let this season bring you down. We have a settledness of confident hope despite all circumstances. If wartime and death couldn't separate Longfellow's understanding of his Savior's love for him and the grace that was poured out for him, then neither shall this pandemic separate our understanding of his grace and his love today. My greatest hope for you this morning is that you will internalize that reality, that you will seek grace when you are overwhelmed in emotion, if you're angry at others or yourself, disappointed in the world, disappointed in leaders, anything taking your minds away from joy in Christ this season, be reminded of this, that there is peace on earth and goodwill to men because Christ's mighty work on the cross, it is as simple as that. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me? Lord, we come to you humbly. We ask that you would renew our minds and our hearts. We pray for the forgiveness of our sins, Lord. We are contrite before you for the things that we have said and done to others that are uncouth and, and unkind, Lord, we repent of those things. And we seek reconciliation with our brothers and sisters from all over. We seek your grace and your mercy. We seek peace, Lord, your peace that comes from our relationship with you. Especially those who are ill in this time and separated from loved ones. We pray for that peace on earth and goodwill to men to reign and for us to push through in your strength in this bleak season. Amen. Kaylin and the team will now lead you in the carol, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day.